agree by saying amen. Amen. All right. Now, as we look at this teaching is for the Joshua generation. Now, I know my staff talked about, Pastor, let's call it something else instead of receiving your inheritance, but I just couldn't. I tried to turn, but I just couldn't. Now, we know it's the Joshua generation that I'm talking to, because you're the generation God's been waiting for. You're going to go over and you're going to take the promised land and all the promises. Say amen to that. Amen. So this is receiving your inheritance. It's going to be volume 2, and this is part 7. Now, it's called believing in the blessing. Believing in the blessing. Now, we look at this. Let's read our scripture, verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Zion, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it now and contend with him in battle. In other words, you're going to have to fight for everything you get. And that fight is a good fight of what? Faith. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Glory to God. All right, so as you look at this and read in Deuteronomy, what we're saying here basically is that now we're going into Canaan land. And as we're going into Canaan land, it's before faith might have been an option. But now faith is going to have to be mandatory, because if you're going to go in there and take the giants, you're going to have to do it in God's ability. And faith connects you with God's ability. Let's go over to Joshua, please, in Joshua chapter 5. Over in Joshua chapter 5, we see here, let's start here reading at verses 6 and 7. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and what? Honey. All right, let's go down here to verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal. Now, this rolled away the reproach. Reproach means shame. I've rolled away the shame from off you. In other words, you'll not be ashamed anymore. I rolled that away. I'm taking it away. Now, what can make you ashamed is not knowing your privileges and your rights. Say amen to that. Amen. And I'm talking about these giants here. You don't know your rights. They can make you ashamed. And I'm just saying that the Christian community should be a blessed community. We should be people that are operating much beyond the world's way of operating and much beyond the world's ability. Now, you'll see what I'm getting at here in just a minute. So as I look at that God is taking us into some places, we call it the promised land, and we're the next generation, we're going to reach in there, and they had Caleb or Joshua to lead them. And this promised land is a land of faith. It's not a place to retire. It's a place to fight. It's a place that you receive the promises that God has for you. Now, God will never let you face anything you cannot overcome. God, and overcome by faith. God will never allow you to face anything you cannot overcome. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then we're going to go over to and show you over in Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 4. All right? So look what he says here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you. Now that word temptation you can put in your Bible, test and trial. Taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, you'll never face anything you cannot overcome. I don't care whether it's financial. I don't care whether it's physical. I don't care whether it's in your marriage. Whatever it is, if you face it, you can overcome it. Say amen to that. All right, now I'm just letting you know, because 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. Whoever's born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Even our faith. So here he is saying that, hey, wait a minute, you can overcome this thing. Now, what is Jesus? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he's talking about Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, now, sin is interesting. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. The Bible even said in 1 John, talks about all unrighteousness is sin. In 1 John chapter, and murmuring, complaining, oh, that's unrighteous. So God never intended for you to murmur and complain about anything. Say amen to that. So he's saying here that in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus took your shame. On the cross, he's hung there, took your shame. So when he took it, that means you don't have to take it. Amen. You don't have to have shame. He took your shame. He became a curse for us. So he took it right there on the cross. But it says here, put it up there again, please. He says, put the scripture up there on the board, please. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus is going to be working with your faith. Say amen. Amen. I think he even says, I think it's in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I'm not sure whether that's the right verse, but that's what he said. Because faith is going to be the essential thing that's going to get you to your destiny. Say amen to this. Now, we know faith works by love. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. But my point to you is you'll never face anything you cannot overcome. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at a sample of that. It's like in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. In Mark 4:35, this is when Jesus, now with the disciples, he said, let us go over to the other side. In other words, here they were on one side of the lake or whatever it was. He said, let us go to the other side. So they got in the ship and they began to go to the other side. And there was also with them other little ships. And he said, next verse, please, just stay up with me, please. Thank you, Lord. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. It was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we are about to die? Now, this wind and this storm is about to sink that boat. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Watch this. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. Question. Did he expect them to still that storm? Amen. Then they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It didn't obey him. What did it obey? Faith. He obeyed his faith. And they had the same faith that he had, that God had imparted to them, so that they could do the same thing that he did. Say amen to this. Amen. So he was expecting them to stop the storm. Now, what would this storm have done if perhaps Jesus wasn't on that boat and they didn't use their faith? It'll kill them. And then somebody would have said, well, the Lord was testing them. The Lord wasn't testing them. The devil was trying to kill them. Watch this. And Jesus was trying to perfect them. Got it? So he leads you into places that he knows you can overcome, but he's trying to perfect you. Why? Because pretty soon you're going to have to take the giants. You're going to have to get back your possession that God sent Jesus to the cross.